From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of January, 2021. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities. Chad Hart will be here from Iowa State University to give us a fundamental view of corn and soybeans. And we'll take up the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse and the agricultural cash grain situation with Brian Stark of the Andersons as we close out our time together on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today finished 11 cents higher at $5.11.5. The May at 5.14.25, up 11.25. And December futures, 4.5 cents higher at $4.34.75. March beans at $13.43.5, up 31.75 today. For Monday, the May contract up 31 as well, $13.42.75 the settlement price. And new crop November up 18.25 cents, $11.30.25 the settlement price. Bean meal futures up $8 for the day, and the bean oil up 67 cents on the afternoon. Soft red winter wheat at 648.5, 14 higher, and the hard red at 627.25. That also finished 14 cents higher on the afternoon. A quick look at what happened in the livestock side of the marketplace. Grain are the live cattle futures there finished the nearby February 20 cents lower. However, the April was up 42.5 at $122.95. Feeders were 12.5 cents higher in the April at $146.25, and lean hogs at $70.62.5, up 70 cents. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace. Quite a different day today, and rather than Friday in Chicago. Tell me about the things that happened on both of those days, please, Kurt.
Oh boy, I'm glad I was not Mike on Friday. That was just plain brutal. It was all hands on deck on the downside. Our best info was, okay, the South America did receive rain. In fact, they're receiving a little too much rain in central parts of the growing regions. Northern Brazil remains somewhat dry, then southern Argentina remains dry. So the rain event has taken the edge off somewhat. So weather will continue to be a factor, along with the dock, port, truckers, unions, trying to make some statements. But the other underlying factor was what we have been told is there was a large Chinese hedge fund liquidated late last week, and supposedly it was ahead of their lunar holiday, New Year, but that's not until Friday, February 12th, so I'm not quite for sure if it was just liquidation period ahead of month end or what, but heavy, heavy selling there late last week. Open interest, the fund position dwindled down quite a bit, somewhat on just get me out type of selling interest. Overnight, back and forth, stability. They gave the market some confidence to work off of. And as the trade kind of looked around and said, well, what's new? Other than South America, our supply-demand balance sheet here in the U.S. is still relatively tight. Then as we moved into the export shipments report, the shipments came in much higher than expected on corn at the upper end of the range on beans, so we continue to ship out what we sold. That was kind of the fundamental catalyst to give the market some courage to recover in through here. The thing is, what we did is we did make a new low and closed higher. The key is kind of hold here together, and they'll kind of view last night's lows as a support level to maintain here as we go through the week. Upside today's highs, that's kind of the key. If you remember, 1350 was kind of the support level on the downside. The 1352.25 was a high today. And that's where the retracements start to come in, too. So in March beans, if we can move above the 1350-52 area, we may be getting maybe on challenge on up back towards $14 again. Same thing on corn. This 515 in March corn was kind of a key area, and we were able to come back and test that and just close a little bit off that level. Corn-wise, if you go back prior to the crop report, we're back to that level. And that crop report was fairly bullish on the stocks and so forth. So we virtually went back to where we were pre-crop report. Now held that area. Now the key is maybe go back and test the highs. Kind of feels like we're going to consolidate here a little bit and kind of look for the next piece of news to determine which way we go.
Yeah, so part of that news will come with the acreage reports coming, you know, that'll be sometime down the road in at the end of March. But I do want to turn your attention to that new crop because the ratio there is 2.7, 2.75 to 1, nearly all new crop soybean to corn. That really leans in favor of soybean at this time. Is there work yet to be done on the corn side?
Well, I think for the most part, these prices are going to bring out acres, period. When you go back in history and look at prices and acreage, whenever we have high prices, it doesn't matter. Acreage is there. Low prices, acreage kind of disappears on that. But I think the market's doing its job, or it's going to have to do its job and kind of stay here at these levels to do exactly what you mentioned there. On beans, we need that extra 5, 6, 7 million acres to put us in position to keep that supply-demand balance sheet carry out for next year, not slipping much below 100 million bushel carry out. That's even before we've moved into the growing season. Same thing on corn. Corn fundamentals, you know, aren't that tight. But if you use 93 million acres and a yield of 181 and keep demand fairly hefty, we're looking at 1.2 billion bushel carryout next year. I mean, that's not super tight, but it suggests that if we stay dry and have some growing concerns here, we'll be in a position here where we have to keep markets somewhat firm to kind of ration what inventories we're going to be looking at next fall. So, yeah, acreage is the key. We need more acres, both corn and beans, more so in the beans. Where that comes from, there's talk that some of this wheat could be torn up and put into some of these other commodities. Then, too, we had quite a bit of prevent plant last year. And as dry as it is in the upper Midwest, you know, those acres could be used, too. So it's going to be a analyst dream in here coming up with all types of different scenarios and what to look for.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you being with us today.
Very good. Take care.
Yeah, you too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. Each Monday, we check in with an agricultural economist from one of the land-grant universities here in the Midwest. Chad Hart now joins us from Iowa State University in Ames. Thanks, Chad, for being with us. The USDA gave us a series of reports earlier in the month. They included the WASDE, the grain stocks from December 1, along with wheat acreage and, of course, the final crop production figures. Can you give us your assessment of how those fundamentals are at play?
Sure. And what we had, and you're right, the idea is USDA threw us the triple barrel of reports about a week and a half ago. We saw some, you know, really strong run-up right after report. Then we took a week off and took some profit-taking out. We seem to be strengthening back up again as we start the week this week. And I think it goes back to show, okay, you know, when we look at what the USDA reports gave us, it was sort of a confirmation of that. We are seeing very strong international demand. We're working through these crops. But you've also got a lot of speculative interest playing within the market right now, which also, you know, leads to the potential for profit taking to happen there. And I think that's the deal when we're looking here right now. The idea is that the fundamentals have remained fairly steady as we've looked out over the past couple of months that, yeah, these crops were a little smaller than we had first anticipated and demand continues to build out there. But you're also seeing ag getting swept up as investors are looking for places to make some gains right now, you know, coming off of what had been a unique year in 2020.
Where do we go from here at this point? And I think my question really is not where do we go from here. And the market quote is always right, but it looks to the future. And I'm wondering whether these kind of prices can be sustained at what the fundamentals are telling us today.
I'm saying they can be sustained at this, but I think we're going to see sort of what we have seen over the past couple of weeks. Expect the markets to be very, very volatile as we move into the springtime here. The idea is that we are watching and waiting to see if we're going to see some significant rationing happening out there because of where we've taken price levels thus far. When we're looking at the export sales, and for example, this morning, you know, the idea is we got the export inspections report coming out. The numbers still look very strong, even given where we put prices thus far. But I'll come back to the idea that, you know, ag is one of the few sectors right now that has been attracting a lot of money to come in over the past 6 months. That has helped bring us to the price levels we're at today. And what last week showed is that money can flow out just as quickly as it flew in.
So as it flies out, it does depress the marketplace because it's leaving, I suppose. But the market will come back up to what it considers the price today.
Yeah, it balances out. I describe, you know, the speculative interest as not setting where the price ultimately ends up. But what it does is it really, if you will, sets the volatility level for prices to bounce around where we finally settle in at.
Yeah, so it's almost as if we're on a teeter-totter. And when they jump off, things go down. Is that it? And maybe the losses are deeper because there's so much outflow. The money is bigger than it used to be. Is that right?
The money's a bit bigger than it used to be. And when you look back over, let's say, for the past couple of years here, we haven't seen outside investors invest this much money to be long in quite some time. And so they have definitely helped push, you know, the price movement we've seen over the past 6 months. Basically, as we've seen these export numbers continue to ratchet up, you can figure the speculators have been sort of following that fundamental news and adding to that wave as we move forward. Now, the problem with it is that as speculators, they're always looking for, I guess I'll call it, continuation of that positive news. And when we look at especially the period of time, once we got past the USDA reports, there wasn't any new information available, and that's what sort of set off the trigger of people exiting the business last week, getting back in this week. They're searching for any sort of news story to create movement.
Well, on that note, is there any reason to be concerned about a resurgence of COVID in China, particularly maybe the South African version in other parts of the world, and of a resurgence of ASF?
I would say there's always reason for concern, but I'll point back to what we've just experienced over the past year. When you go back and look at through 2020, you know, as COVID spread throughout the world, the first time here, what we saw was that ag trade actually remained very strong throughout all that. And so it seems like on the COVID side, even if we do see surges in parts of the world, agricultural trade has been able to work through that, around that. I don't think it necessarily changes the story. Now, African swine fever and a reemergence there definitely does change what types of agriculture are flowing there. The idea is that what we have seen over the past 6 months was sort of predicated on China rebuilding those hog herds, hence the strong pull, especially of feed grains moving into China. If African swine fever reemerges as a significant problem there, probably knocks some of that demand down, but that would come on the flip side of who's on the other side of the teeter-totter there. We would see more protein demand coming out of China to help replace the lost protein that they would have with the resurgence of African swine fever.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Chad Hart is an agricultural economist at Iowa State University in Ames. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at WILLAG.org. We're now joined by Mark Russo from Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, meteorologist, to help us take a look at the weather forecast. Let's start in South America. What have you been watching of interest?
Well, Todd, we're currently watching this heat wave in Argentina that started late last week and continued through the weekend. Temperatures or maximum temperatures have been in the 90s and even some lower 100s across the heart of their corn and soybean belt. That continues for another couple of days before temperatures then cool down, and at least no other follow-up heat waves are expected through the first 9-10 days of February. The other item of note is that with this cool down in temperatures, that'll also be accompanied by some rainfall chances in Argentina. So overall, it doesn't look like all-encompassing rains for Argentina, but at least half of the belt looks to receive significant amounts to likely help stabilize things. So at least some relief is on the way for Argentina, you know, following this period of heat and then drier conditions over the past week's time frame there.
Further to the north in Brazil, it has been raining. It's their harvest season. What do you think?
Yeah, southern Brazil looks like the most active zone here coming up over the next couple of weeks. So that'll continue to provide favorable conditions. And then up north and center west, where, like you said there, Todd, they are harvesting soybeans. The pattern looks pretty favorable for harvesting. In fact, this week features more scattered activity, and that's favorable for rapid harvesting. Next week sees a bit of an increase in rains, but not enough for it to be problematic. So Brazil overall looks to continue to be in good shape here moving into February.
Any reason to be concerned about safrinha crops at this time?
Well, the one thing to keep an eye on here, no concern right now, but the thing to monitor is that the safrinha corn crop is going to be planted later than usual. And that's just simply due to the fact that the soybean crop that's being harvested now got planted later than usual. So that pushes back their winter corn crop. So right now their soil moisture looks to be in pretty good shape. But the thing to watch is there any delays in planting, further delays in planting, or, you know, do you have an early end to the rainy season and then your soils begin to dry out? But no real indications of that right now, looking in like April or later in March. But right now, no red flags.
Here in the United States, what are you watching from the western wheat growing regions right on through the Midwest?
Yeah, the pattern here this week, very stormy across actually much of the U.S., especially in areas of the west and then on into the plains and Midwest. We have one big winter storm here today on into tomorrow, producing a swath of moderate to heavy snow from the central plains here into the Midwest. Then potential other storm coming up this weekend and even some additional storminess next week. So one of the stormiest kind of windows that the U.S. has been in this winter, or let alone much of the past couple of weeks. And but, you know, the moisture that these storms are producing, some of it is snow, some of it is rain, too. At least that'll at least help to some extent some of the drought stricken areas that we're seeing in the western and central U.S.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Well, on this Monday afternoon, we're now joined by Brian Stark at the Andersons from Champaign County. Before we get started, Brian, because you have been on this panel over at the Beef House for the All Day Ag Outlook more often than not for the last decade or decade and a half or so, and the station has been getting some calls about getting tickets for it. I know I put it into the calendar. I kind of forgotten that I had put it there as a placeholder, but it is only a placeholder. There is no expectation that we will have an in-person All Day Ag Outlook. I'm working on something else potentially, but Brian, we're the university, and mostly Todd, actually both, I suppose, is not ready to put 200 people in a room together. So I just want to let folks know that we're not going to do that. I would love to. I was, as you know, we were the last thing before lockdown. I think it was a week later that we went into lockdown after our March meeting. And I was kind of hoping that it would be really nice to bracket it so that we'd come out of that and we could start with the March meeting, but that doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Now, I do want to talk to you about last Friday's, and you mentioned this to me as we were talking just before we got started here, bloodletting in Chicago, and then today's bounce in the marketplace. What do you think it is?
I think it's technical-driven selling. I mean, if you look at kind of the place we stopped overnight, it's around the 20-day moving average in the March contracts for corn and beans. I guess March beans being maybe slightly below, but nonetheless, I think the market was squeezing out the week longs that entered post January 12th crop report. And once that kind of exasperated itself overnight, we found some buying come back into the market of a technical nature to support those levels. And I think with so much time yet to go, with knowing where we ration consumption, you know, China was in with some announcements late last week, continuing to buy some commodities. So I think the market wants to be cautious about completely saying that an interim top has been put in. And as I mentioned to you prior to getting on the radio, you know, looking back at some prior year charts, 2008, 2011 kind of come to mind. We saw similar price action a couple weeks after the January report, where there was fund liquidation or a downtrend, only to establish an interim bottom and then rally back into the report in February, S&D report in February. Not to say that we'll do the same thing, but the market, I think, is realizing we've not fundamentally changed anything, and I think it was more of a technical cleanup of some of the exuberant fund length that developed specifically in corn.
Well, if we're only rallying into the S&D report based on history, that wouldn't be but a couple of weeks away now.
That's right. And I think that to me, you know, as we've discussed before, charts kind of give us an idea, but they certainly don't predict the future based on past results. And I think the market still has to solve what price slows down consumption. And I don't think any of us would agree that that has been determined yet. And certainly it's important. I think the real surprise from Friday was how much they broke the new crop. You know, most of the fund length is in the front end of the old crop months, and yet the new crop value, which are so important when we need to plant more acres in corn and beans both this coming spring, that they broke just as much.
Yeah, so they broke that pretty hard. What does the cash situation tell you about this marketplace? I think it told you apparently that things aren't breaking as hard up front as maybe what we thought on Friday.
No, they're not. I mean, we're starting to see a little bit of strengthening more necessarily in bean basis than corn basis. Corn basis has actually been kind of in a free fall in the east since the January crop report, but it's trying to find a bottom. A lot of that's driven by heavier movement from the producer off the farm with the new highs we set post-January 12th. And I still am in the camp that basis will continue to rally here eventually once the initial movement we typically see in January and February moving forward, just given how tight the carryout's projected to be in corn and soybeans.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. That's Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.